Welcome to Shit Your Teenagers Won't Tell You, a podcast about everything you need to know about teens.
I'm Kathy.
And I'm Meredith, and we speak teenager.
Did we also mention that we're best friends?
We've worked as admission officers, prep school administrators, and most importantly, have coached thousands of teens. In other words, we have seen it all.
So join us every week as we give you the lowdown on all the shit your teenager isn't telling you. Because trust us, there's a lot of it. And if you don't know what to do with the teenagers in your life, don't worry, we've got your back.
Welcome to another episode of Shit Your Teenagers Won't Tell You. And today we have a juicy, salacious topic
salacious.
For you.
Salacious.
Ooh. We just finished recording an episode that kind of bummed us out. And so I think this one's going to make us feel, I don't know if happy, probably not happy. It's just going to fire us up. And we like that. We like a baseline of fired up, you and me. So today we want to talk about this concept that you might have heard about known as hooks in the admission process. So let me give you an example. A student comes to me and says, hey, Meredith, we're deciding between early decision schools. And he says, okay, I like this school better. This school I think is a better fit for me, but this other school, which I also like, just not quite as much. I'm thinking of applying early decision to that school because I have family that has attended that school, even though it's not really my number one choice. That, my friends, is an example of someone thinking that there's a hook that they can take advantage of in the admission process. Kathy, my friend, how would you define the hook?
Well, it's funny that we call it. I was just thinking that it's funny that we call it hooks.
It is weird.
Right? Is it like when you're in a vaudeville show and then there's a hook that comes and pulls you off the stage?
Right. Well, so the two images I have are Captain Hook.
Is it a fishing hook? They're fishing and you've got a hook.
And is it anyways. The snag? I mean, most, if you think of imagery of hooks, it's mostly bad. You're either getting removed from stage, you're dead fish or about to be dead. Captain Hook is messing up Neverland. It's not great.
Yeah, I agree. So I know it's interesting. When I was working in a college counseling office at a prep school, we would look at lists of students who had been admitted to certain highly selective schools, and then we would highlight the ones that we would call quote unquote hooked.
Yep.
We'd be like, that was hooked, meaning they had a leg up in the admissions process. And it almost never was that it was a legacy. The legacy hook is kind of weak, actually.
Right.
It was oftentimes an athletics recruit or a development case, or if it was a legacy situation, it was more like your dad has been a professor at the school, I mean, Meredith, for 20, Dr. Herrera is hooking you up, girl.
I believe he did walk my brother's application and handed it to the admission director.
Office. He's like, hello, sir. Anyways, but professors at universities who've been there for 20, 30 years, who are tenured.
Yeah.
That's a real hook for sure.
Yeah. Right?
So let's talk through a few of these.
Okay.
I did have a little freshman come to my office one time. I'll never forget her. She came to my office and I was like, okay, so talk to me about, you know, what you're thinking about college process. And she was like, oh, I play squash and I'm just going to get recruited for squash. That's my strategy.
Oh my God. Yes. The obscure. Oh my God. I can't. I had a badminton.
You had a badminton.
Badminton. The strategy of playing the obscure sport to get recruited is so annoying. Can I just say?
It can work.
So,
I had a kid recruited for squash.
It can work. And it's just so annoying.
It's annoying because it goes against our values. For you and I, we want.
Oh, it's so cringy.
It feels really, it's fake, right? I mean, maybe you love squash, but.
No, who loves squash?
I mean, I don't know. I think the kid I'm
probably
who I
offending
had recruited for
East
squash.
Coasters.
Yeah, I was like, I had a kid who recruited for squash who actually really liked it.
What is squash?
It's like racquetball, I think.
I think you're right. I don't know. I grew up in LA. No
squash.
So
did I. What do I know about squash?
Exactly. I'm not from Connecticut.
We're digressing.
East Coast. I'm sorry. Squash, hook, got it. Freshman, go.
Meredith is upset about squash.
My head, you all can't see me. My just this mere conversation. is making me rub my head aggressively.
Well, the thing with athletic recruitment is that it's real. It's not fun. So just because, and it's not a guarantee. Yeah. It's not a guarantee, but it does for sure. Work for sure. Kids can get recruited, but the whole recruitment process, talk about gray area. It's really kind of fuzzy. Coaches are not always honest. We'll just do our hot take on athletic recruitment right now and not a whole episode. We probably could do a whole episode on it.
Oh gosh, hot take on athletic recruitment? Oh boy, okay. Division one is very different than Division two and Division three. So that's the first thing we need to distinguish. If you're a real fast cornerback for the University of Wisconsin, and the coach tells you you're getting recruited your sophomore year, provided you don't mess up or get hurt or get F's or get in trouble, you probably are okay.
Get arrested. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's true. Usually that's.
And that's true at the Division I level, where college coaches have the most power, I'd say, in an admission process. Still, it's important to know that the admission office always has the final say and can certainly. But Division I sports is big money for schools, big money. And so that's part of why they're recruiting athletes. Now, Division III schools, it's a little bit different. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, D3 schools. So, for example, and the Ivy League is its own league. It is why they're called the Ivy League, is because the athletics league is called the Ivy League. But I used Williams in my last episode, and I'll use it again because
okay,
Williams is a D3, highly selective, liberal arts college that is actually not – it's quite common for kids to say, I'd like to get recruited for crew or rowing at Williams. And I actually had a friend who was recruited to row, and I've had students recruited to row at places like Williams. And it's different because your academics still matter. Whereas at a D1 school, there's a lot more leeway.
You have to graduate.
The bar's pretty low. Yeah, it's like a 2.0, 25 ACT, something like that. Pretty low. And not true for D3 schools. The academics do play a role, especially in the highly selectives. There's plenty of D3 schools that are not highly selective that also recruit for athletics. That's not what I'm talking about right now. Because when kids think about recruitment or using a hook, they're usually trying to use it to get into a school that's more selective than they could potentially get in on just their own merit minus athletics, right?
Yeah. So I sort of frame it this way. If you made two columns for a place like Williams, and let's say the women's soccer coach has, the admission office goes to the women's soccer coach and says, yeah, you got 4 spots this year. That's it. And women's soccer coach tries to negotiate for more. And admission office says, keep talking, person. You're going to only get 3. So first of all, the admission office is a little more say. It's also usually much smaller pools of applicants. And so then the coach has to bring to the admission office those players, those prospective players that are most likely to be admissible. So you'll notice the difference here isn't, I need the best soccer player. So let's say they have 5 recruits. They have whatever, 5 spots. Or let's say they have 3 spots, 5 recruits. There might be a ranking in terms of ability. Stacy is the best soccer player amongst the 5, but Stacy has the 4th best academics. Joanne is a pretty good soccer player, but has the best academics. So that coach might get Joanne over Stacy at a place like Williams.
The coach is going to get the best soccer player they can get who can get in.
Yes.
Yeah. Who admissions is going to be like, okay, well, that's fine. And I tell students this, if your academic profile is much lower than the average academic profile at that school, the coach would have to be advocating for you so hard. They would have to be like, this is my number one person. Please, 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 please. We need this player for our program. They would have to really be pushing and advocating for you in the admissions process.
And to be clear, families who think that they're this person or their child is this kid, you would know that from the coach. The coach having sent you one email last summer is not advocacy.
Well, and coaches lie.
And coaches lie.
And they will tell you that you're a top recruit.
Right. But they're telling that to 10 other students at 10 other different high schools.
They don't know who's going to come, right? Because they're like, you could be playing them too. You could be saying the same thing at Swarthmore. Right. And you could be saying the same thing at Amherst, right? You're like, we're for sure coming.
You're our number one.
So it's early decision. Here we come. This big game. So this is why it's a little bit tricky. Okay. Similarly, I would say with athletics is arts. So there could be, right, kids who are using arts as a hook. So like dance, for example, or music performance.
Yeah.
Right. That can happen. If you are one of the best young cellists in the nation and world.
Pick a more obscure instrument, because that's what I'm seeing is
xylophone.
Yeah, we're going for the oboe because there's not a lot of oboes in symphonies.
Flugelhorn.
You are really great at the pianoforte.
Bass clarinet. How about that?
Yeah, bass clarinet. There you go.
Soprano clarinet. Let's go. Piccolo.
Are there a lot of accordion recruits?
I don't think so. Although that would be so much fun. I played accordion when I was a kid, and I always thought, like, man, if I had kept that up, that would have really made me stand out in the college process.
I had a student who played the bagpipes and really enjoyed playing the bagpipes in the college counseling office. And I was like, sir, these are the loudest. It's like having it. They're so loud. You're going to need to go across the street and then play, and we can all hear you. But bagpipes, there you go.
So arts can play a role too. It's similar to athletic recruiting. It's like the more selective school that you want to go to, the better artist you need to be. And you also need to have the academic chops. And if you don't have the academic chops, it means that your school needs to be like, this ballerina is going to be the next Misty Copeland. Like, she needs to be at our school, right?
But typically, I think we need to say something here, but typically that's in colleges where the arts programs are renowned.
Yes, and matter.
So, for example, if you are the bass clarinet player who's applying to Occidental, right? It's not known. Girl, stop it.
Occidental is so offended right now. They're like, what are you talking about?
Saying, when you compare that to the Thornton School of Music at USC, it's like not the same. Not samesies or Juilliard. Okay, not the same.
No, definitely not the same. Yeah.
So what we're saying is, presuming your child is looking at schools that are very much, you know, conservatory programs, straight up.
And the other thing I would say is that you do actually have to major in the art in which you are good at in order for it to matter. Because a lot of kids want to submit, they want to submit arts portfolios.
Oh, nobody cares.
Thank you.
Nobody cares, my friends, if you're not majoring in it. It might be nice. The admission counselor reviewing your application might be like, oh, what lovely drawings. But if you're not actually going to be a fine arts major, that's not matter. You.
Nope. I know. And that so many kids find that disappointing. They're like, oh, man, I don't want to major in arts. I want to major in business. But look at all this art that I've made. That's amazing. I was like, it is amazing. And if you don't submit it as part of an application to the arts program, nobody cares. It's just going to have very little impact.
It will have it'll be isn't this nice? And then we move on. We're the worst, man. We just rip off.
Jaded. We're jaded.
Are we or are we honest? And there's a whole bunch of players in this game who are not honest about this stuff that round out these edges.
That could be true. Well, I also think that, listen, if you are internationally renowned for your harp playing, I'm trying to go obscure, okay? For your harp playing.
Yeah.
Or if you are internationally renowned for your dancing, like let's say you're an Irish. I just watched a video this morning, the Irish dancing. It's so impressive.
My friend Carolyn was legit.
Really into it, right? It's like Lord of the Dance. It's
would travel to Ireland to compete.
Right. It's hardcore.
She did it at her wedding. I think she did. Hold on. That was a long time ago. I'll have to text her. It was pretty impressive.
But my point is, there are schools in Ireland you can major in Irish dance because I went to visit one of them. But in the U.S., you're probably not going to major in Irish dance. You may not even major in dance, but if you're one of the best in the country, that actually will make a difference in terms of your resume. People will think that's impressive. It's kind of a hook.
I had this image of you and I attending an Irish dancing college and like the two of us in the dresses. And it's maybe one of the funnier things that has crossed my mind.
We would do it. We would rock it. I could get those legs up there. I was a cheerleader.
Yeah, but you have to have a very serious countenance.
I can do it. I was also in speech and cheerleading.
You can't.
I was in speech and cheerleading. I was set up.
We're too expressive. Okay, anyway, hooks.
Anyways, so I do think that that is a hook, even though you're not majoring in Irish dance, but you're one of the best in the world. Yeah, that's a hook.
Let's talk about...
Ooh, money.
Yeah. Let's talk about the thing that people get most uncomfortable about, which is advancement or money.
Money, money, money. It's a rich man's world. Oh, I'm singing again. It's a good episode.
Good episode. We cheered up from the last episode. I told you.
We perked up. I don't know why we like talking about this. It's kind of because we're like talking trash about it a little bit. We're like, stupid hooks.
Stupid hooks.
If you have a hook, you know, we get it. We have kids. We work with kids with hooks all the time.
Mostly, I'd say.
So development. And we actually have friends who work in development offices.
Yes.
And it's a fascinating world, truly.
It's a strange. Yeah, it's an odd. It's important. I don't want to minimize it, especially for private colleges and universities. They're tuition driven. They're nonprofits. They rely on advancement. Yes.
And the schools that we worked at, the prep schools that we worked at, right? There's an advancement office. It's a real part.
Absolutely. And I think giving towards educational institutions is a noble thing to do.
Yep.
Anyway, that's about all I got.
Well, how so the question I always get is how much money? What's the dollar amount?
Oh, man.
And I always like to say something that one of our mutual friends who works in advancement says. She's like, one of the things that we do when we get a new file in the advancement office is we do a ton of research and we are building a dossier on who this person is.
They do feasibility studies on you.
Totally. And they are looking to see your history of giving. Are you philanthropical?
That's not a word.
And what are the chances? Philanthropical?
I think it's just philanthropic, but I really liked it. So I think we're going to spread it far and wide. Philanthropical.
Are you philanthropic? It doesn't sound right to me.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, you're probably not, but that's fine. Anyways. Are you philanthropic?
Are you philanthropical?
It's like philanthropical. Are you feeling tropical?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Are you philanthropic? And will you continue to give us money? Not just like this one big lump sum, but can we build a relationship with you?
Yeah.
A lifetime of giving. It's more complex than let me write a check for X amount of dollars and the school's going to let my kid in.
Did you know that happened to me? I must have told you how.
Oh, that somebody in admissions?
Once. Right. Remember they like pulled me aside and literally busted out their checkbook?
Yeah.
And said, how much money will it take?
I'll tell you in admission center. So I used to work in the admission center. You know, we all had to do it as college counselors, admission officers at USC. We had to work the front desk at the welcome center. And a family came in. Okay, Chinese people, I'm calling you out. It was a family from China. They were visiting from China. And the parents said to me, is the SAT required? I was like, yes, it is. I was like, or the ACT. And they're like, oh, okay. How much do we pay if we don't want to take the SAT? I was like, oh, that's a new one.
I love it.
How much do I pay if I don't want to do that? I'm like, it's not how it works.
I got bribed with ham.
Ooh.
Remember I got sent a ham?
Was that honey baked?
I got sent like a big old ham. I was like, ooh.
We did get sent things.
Because you can't send, you could only send like perishables or something. I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, ham. That was pretty good.
So anyways, the money thing is very tricky. If your family has a legacy of giving, your grandparents, the student's grandparents, maybe could make a difference. Maybe if there's a building named after them.
That'd be a lot of money.
It's got to be a lot of money. It's got to be really significant.
First, get highly selective schools. I think we need to say schools that have big endowments are flush.
Yep. And I would say the other kind of ancillary to that is kids who can get letters from trustees. Ugh. How do you feel about that, Meredith? Look at your face. Oh my God, you're cracking me up right now.
So dumb.
Ugh. That's what Meredith says. Ugh.
Meredith. Oh, is there more to say? Yeah. You think, you know, you are friends with a senator, you, the trustee, you have a, your aunt's friend is on the board at this college. Listen, I think that is pretty not impactful, especially if there's not a real relationship that exists at highly selective schools. It's important, much like we were talking in our rigor conversation, that the sheer volume of students that have the most rigorous curriculum is greater than the spaces available to them at the most selective schools. So too are the volume of students with hooks and things like letters from quote unquote fancy people greater than the amount of spaces that exist at highly selective universities and colleges. So it's just not very impactful unless there's a real relationship or that trustee is the chair, the most important trustee, I'd say.
The most important trustee, not only the most important trustee, but a trustee who is freaking going to bat for your kid, who is like, this is the one child I want
you to
admit
for me. One ask. Yeah.
This is my one ask for this year. Okay.
Yeah.
That could happen.
That could happen.
That could happen. But the likelihood that that trustee is doing that for you is slim to none. Because we've had plenty of kids who've gotten trustee letters who did not get in. And I've had working in USC and in LA and in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I remember getting a letter from Rick Dees, the morning DJ on KS 102.7 FM. And I was like, really, people?
Yeah, I mean, we would get letters from all kinds of people.
Celebrities. I did get a letter from Madonna one time.
Ooh.
Which is kind of cool. I mean, she clearly didn't write it.
I was like, did her assistant write a great letter?
Of course. Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say, of course, it was not from Madonna's. It was Madonna's office. But I, you know, it's like that kind of stuff is like silly. And one of the things we used to say, thick file, thick kid.
Thicker the file, thicker the kid. That's not a nice thing.
It's not nice at all, but admissions people are mean.
It's a little true.
It's true.
Yeah, you don't want to be one of those kids that has 8 letters of recommendation. That's, you remember when you used to open up a file and you'd see the drop-down menu and you'd see 12 letters. It's immediate judgment.
Annoyance. Immediate annoyance. You're like, God damn it. Do you know how many files I got to read today? Why are you trying to make me read through? I got to look through these 12 letters of rec that I know are going to be kind of bullshitty.
Totally.
Don't do it, people.
Do not.
Can hooks work? So I'm going to end this episode with a concrete example. And this is like a more real life example. I have a student this year who is a double legacy.
You want to explain what that is?
A double legacy, meaning her mother and her father both went to this Ivy League college.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
With Duggar.
Yes.
Received their bachelor's degrees from this Ivy League institution. Okay. She is the 1% I was talking about in our rigor episode, is taking multivariable calculus, is probably in the top 5% in terms of rigor and GPA in her class. Mm-hmm. Well, likely in her very rigorous prep school, let me clarify, and probably will be the valedictorian of her class. Okay. So highest GPA in her entire class, and started a nonprofit that saves thousands of pounds of food from farmers markets and redistributes it to nonprofit organizations that can use the produce. I mean, was a Clark Scholar. I mean, like, she's a badass.
Legit. Yeah. Okay?
And applied restrictive early action and got in. And in that case, I thought, yeah, I think you should do it.
That makes sense.
That makes sense because that double legacy is going to give you that one little extra, just the tiniest little pushes you in.
A little push. It's
like at the quarterback's at the end zone and they're so close.
Pushes them.
And everybody just pushes them in.
What's wow. Happening? You're not one reference. For a sports metaphor, but, I know, I'm here for it.
It reminded me of. You just need that extra little shove in. That's where I thought the double legacy. I was like, okay, I think that's actually going to help you. And that's a smart choice. Smart. Right.
Assuming she likes it, right? Assuming that
she does like the school, her older sister's there, blah, blah, blah.
But all the other things had to be on point for you to say that. And I think that's the key. And I also want to add something to this conversation that could give birth to a whole other conversation, but we're not going to do that because we have to end soon. But the Supreme Court decisions will certainly, which I think are wrong, and the way that colleges now are not able to consider ethnic and racial background in the same ways. Because presumably it supposedly gives some type of unfair advantage. Everyone better be ready for people coming for legacy in the courts and people coming for advancement. So it's only a matter of time, I think, before there's some lawsuits in those areas. But once again, the conclusion is highly selective admission in the United States of America is not a meritocracy all the time.
Nope.
Which is a bummer, but it's better to know the truth.
That is like our philosophy.
Did I just bum us out again?
I think it is better to know the truth, right? And, you know, I got a lot of shit for that when I worked in high schools because I was like, I'd rather you just have the information than have your feelings hurt. I mean, like, okay, your feelings are kind of hurt. I get it. You're disappointed, but this is the reality we're living in.
Yeah.
Right? Like, let's live in reality land, everybody. And now that we have a podcast, guess what? We can drop truth bombs all day long and nobody can stop
it. It's so nice. I don't have to. It was so sweet. This week, sweet little anecdote. I connected with a former student who graduated in 2015. So almost 10 years ago. And we were talking and he was asking me for some chisme, which is gossip, my friends. I was just like shooting straight. And he's like, wow, it's so different. I was like, yeah, I can tell you exactly what I think now.
He's like, I like it. Give me all the chisme, right? Yes, girl, yes.
Okay. Well, everybody, we hope that this episode, what, Kathy, do we hope this episode, informative, enlightening, useful in some way?
Go spread the gospel and tell all your friends. Like when people start saying some bullshit about how they know some, just be like, listen to this episode.
Most people who think they have a hook, it's not so much.
Yeah, most people who actually have a hook don't ever talk about it.
That's absolutely right. Actually, that's absolutely one truth bomb for real.
Yep.
Those that really have the hook, especially advancement, never going to talk about it.
Never, ever peep a little peeper about
super
it.
Super discreet.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us. We hope you have a lovely rest of your day and you catch up on all of our episodes that you may have missed. And there will be more to come in the future.
Woot!